My message this morning is entitled, Blessed is the Man, and it comes out of Jeremiah chapter 17. As Jeremiah begins these words in chapter 17, he sets a stage for what he's about to say. I need to drop that down over a bit, maybe. Yeah, and as he's doing that, he sets us up to help us to understand what's going on in this chapter. Verses 1 through 4, I'd like to read them to you just to give you a picture of what's happening in this chapter. And so Jeremiah speaking, he says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. While their children remember their altars and their wooden images, by the green trees on the high hills, on my mountain in the field, I will give us plunder, your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall go of your let go of your heritage which I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever." Notice he says, "I'm angry with you." There's a little bit of anger in what God is saying. And so God is saying to these people that they act like their evil ways have been engraved on their hearts of stone with some kind of a sharp chisel with diamonds on the tip and engraved on the corners of their altars. It sounds like they are bent toward obeying the demands of their sin rather than obey the call of righteousness by God. God says it's like your evil ways are laws that you must obey. And that picture gives us an idea of a people who have hard and really unresponsive hearts. We can look around today and see a lot of that in our world, people whose hearts are hardened and unresponsive. And he's saying that even the children have memories of participating in those sins that was going on in the people of Israel. They had chosen to make and worship other altars or other gods, idols, and God is angry about that. It appears that Israel, more accurately Judah, who had taken after these idols, began to make them, worship them, they became disobedient to God, and God is telling them now that the wages of their sin is to be taken into captivity. He's saying there's going to be another country who's going to come in, conquer you, take you as slaves, and take you to a country you do not know. The prophet is telling them that their payday is coming, that their sin is going to cost them. Actually, they're going to learn the truth that you and I have heard so many times, that sin will cost you more than you want to pay, take you farther than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay. And they're about to experience that in their life. And he's telling them that a harsh time is coming their way. And they basically have two choices. Keep going the way you're going, doing what you're doing, continue to not obey God, and then just suffer the consequences. Or you can turn to God, put your trust in Him, and worship Him, and be blessed in spite of the tribulation. It doesn't sound like God saying, if you turn to me, you won't have to go into this captivity. But He's saying that if you turn to me, you will go into this time of tribulation, and you will be blessed, and you will prosper while you're there if you trust me. And so he's telling them, you got a choice. He says in verses 5 and 6, we read 1 through 4, he says in 5 and 6, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, which is not inhabited." And then our text for today, 7 through 10. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Then he says this, and I think this section of the scripture almost sounds like it's out of place to me, but it's not. When we get into it, we'll find out why. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to every man, to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In these words, the prophet calls the people to make a choice of two opposing choices. Number one, trust in man. Number two, trust in God. Join me in prayer. Father, this morning as we open your word and we look at that and consider the words of Jeremiah, the prophet, the words that he spoke under your anointing and empowering, and we pray that those words that spoke to them then speaks to us today. I pray the Holy Spirit enables us to see clearly, to understand, and apply to our life, that we might be enriched by the things we study. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read these choices, trust man, trust God, it's very similar to the choices that Moses gave Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let me read them to you. He says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So, in these verses that we just read in Deuteronomy, God speaking through Moses is telling them that they are about to go in and to possess the land that he had given them, that they must be careful to continue to love God, to serve him alone, and if they did, they would experience blessing. But if they failed to do that, they would experience problems. And so they had to make a choice. Well, here they chose God, and they went in and possessed the land. The difference between these verses in Deuteronomy and the ones that we read in Jeremiah, the difference is that they were going in to possess a land. But in Jeremiah, they have already possessed the land. But now, in our text today, they had turned away from God. God says, make sure you keep your heart with me, that you obey me and honor me. Well, here they had failed to do that, and they had chosen idol worship. In our text today, God is telling them that they're about to go to a place that they don't want to go, to serve a people that they don't want to serve. And while they are there, they need to make a choice. As we read these two choices that God is having them make, as we read those choices, choose God, choose man, makes me wonder how God can be so severe at one point, and at the very same time, be most gracious. Listen again to the choices. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from God. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, and shall inherit parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land which is not inhabited. He's saying you can continue to trust your arm of flesh. In this case, it was probably Egypt, who was really no help at all. Or maybe they trust their own arm, their own strength, their own knowledge, their own ability, and not look to God or his will for his help. They just don't even look at God at all, and just look at the outcome that is about to happen to them if they make that choice. And he says, or blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. When heat comes, his leaf will be green. It'll stay green. Will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, he goes on to say, which we'll talk about more later. If they could just simply trust the Lord, they would prosper. And he says, the one who does that is blessed, and they shall live and be refreshed and prosper. As I read these scriptures in Jeremiah, it reminds me of Romans 6:23, which sounds really similar, because it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It presents that same choice. Choose life, choose death. Choose good, choose bad. But it's right there for you. Wages of sin, that's the bad choice. The gift of God, that's the good choice. And so we see in that verse the very same choices. And he's telling us that you cannot trust your own works, cannot trust another man, because the wages of doing that is always death. But the gift to us is Jesus Christ, God's gift to us. And that speaks of love. And so as he gives those two choices, then he goes into talking about the heart. Don't follow the heart. And I'll talk about that more at the end of the message. It seems to me that as I read these scriptures, I see a series of three different choices of two things. The first series is of options, the first two choices is choose to trust the flesh, choose to trust God. The next set is choosing a different conditions of life. You can choose to be cursed, or you can choose to be blessed. And then he gives you a choice of two different outcomes with those choices, a cursed lifestyle or a blessed lifestyle. Let's take a moment and look at the number one. And so as God is speaking, he's telling them that where you're going, where are you going to place the trust as you go into those troubled times? He says, it's your choice. And he says, you have two choices. You can continue to trust the arm of flesh. For them, it would have been a choice of trying to do life as they have been doing it just like they always have, doing their own thing, doing their own will, making their own rules. He says, you can do life on your own, live according to your own desires. Or maybe they want to continue to do that and depend on Egypt to defend them against that invading army. But Egypt wasn't one that they could trust in. 2 Kings 18 tells us, now look, you're trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. And so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who to all who trust in him. He's saying, you can't trust them. They're not able to deliver you. There is no strength. There's no help in them. You can't depend on them. And so you can continue to refuse to trust the Lord and choose to follow them, and you will find chaos. And he says, or you can trust in God, who had delivered them from slavery, brought them into the promised land, who redeemed them and made them his own people. Some of you may have been already in your lifetime in a situation where you were taken where you didn't want to go, and kept longer than you wanted to stay. But when you were there, you trusted in the Lord. And when you come out of the end of it, you were stronger than when you went in. He says, now you've got those two choices. Choose the arm of flesh or choose God. He says, if you choose the flesh, then this is the conditions of life that you choose. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. It's a judgment that has been pronounced on those who break covenant with God. It's in contrast to the word bless. And it gives me a picture of a time when these people were turning their back on God, and God just kind of takes his hands off of them. And he says, okay, you're on your own. You will go through this without my help, without my strength, without my covering, without my blessing. You will go through this on your own. You're on your own. I don't know if I want to live like that. He says, you can go into this captivity and face it under your own strength, in your own abilities. I'll take my hands off and you're on your own. And so now they would be facing judgment and rejecting mercy and grace and the blessing of God and facing all of this under their own strength. Now God is saying, you can face all of this alone. Then he says, whose heart departs from the Lord? Kind of hang on to that little picture of a heart departing from the Lord. He says, that means you chose to turn away from God and face life all alone and to face it without God. As if to say, my way, my strength, my knowledge, my resources are greater than God's. As if to say, I don't need God in my life. I've heard people say this God thing, this church thing, is nothing but a crutch. It doesn't really mean much. As if to say, real men face life and death all alone. I don't think that's a good plan. Because in that plan, there's no promises, there's no hope. There's no help beyond the limited resources of a man. That would make me think that if I reject God, I don't even have prayer to fall back on unless I'm praying a prayer of repentance. You remember what repentance is? It's turning from my sin and turning to God. And that's what God is calling them to do, is to come back to Him. And here's the outcome. He said, you shall be like a shrub in the desert and not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that's not inhabited. Picture that. A shrub in the middle of a desert. No water around. No grass. Dry. The plant is brittle, has no beauty, it's real gnarly looking, it's barely alive, and it's surrounded by a harsh, dry desert. It's in a place where there's very little comfort, no fruitfulness, always thirsty, never satisfied. It presents a picture of one miserable life. One who has said, I'll do life on my own. I don't need God. It's a life without the Lord. It's a picture of a destitute man in the wilderness who lives on a parched place in a dry desert. A man who can't even see good coming his way at all. And I find myself saying, how do people live life like that? I don't know how they live like that. And I see it every day. And he says, or, everybody say, or, you got a choice. Or you could choose God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose help is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. He shall not fear when heat comes. His leaf will stay green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought. He won't worry about that, nor will he cease from yielding his fruit. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's the title of this message. I chose that title because it's the only good choice. Because it's full of rich promises to us. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Because he is our resource for life. He has more resource than we've got need. He is the rewarder of those who seek him. He has unlimited resources for our lives. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, even in the hard times. You remember the time when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat? Jesus was up front asleep, and the waves come in, and the boat is flooding, and the disciples have done everything they could do to stay afloat, and they wake up Jesus and say, "Don't you care, we're going down." And Jesus gets up, and he says, "I don't know about you guys, but I'm out of here." Is that what he said? No, he quietens the storm. He didn't bail out on him. He stuck right there with him, even in the hard times. If Jesus gets out of the boat, we better be getting out too. But in this case, Jesus stayed right there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, even in the hard times. He's our provider, our healer, our righteousness, our overcomer, our peace, and so much more. I want you to notice in this scripture that he doesn't promise them an easy life. They're going into captivity. And he's telling them that there's going to be times when it gets hot. Because there's going to be heat there. There's going to be dry times because there's drought. He doesn't say it's all going to be a piece of cake. But he says it doesn't matter what the conditions are. If you trust me, you'll still prosper. You'll still bear fruit. Not telling us that it's going to be a piece of cake. Hard times, and as we trust God through those times, God will be faithful to bless us. Our roots go deep into a river, and we are refreshed, and we're like a tree planted by that river, and that river is God. Our leaves stay green. Blessed is the man who can trust the Lord through good and through harsh seasons of life. Blessed is the man who can trust the Lord in spite of the harsh seasons of life. And that's the choice we want to make. I choose to trust the Lord. But I don't want to leave this message without talking about verses 9 and 10, where he talks about the heart. And I find, I'm thinking, this just really doesn't fit in this discussion. But the more I read it, the more I realize it really does. Let's read it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel had been sent to David's family to anoint David king. They marched David's older brothers before Samuel. Samuel sees the first one, and he's tall, and he's big, and he's handsome, and looks intelligent, and he says, "Oh, surely he's the man." And God says, "I did not choose him." He tells him, "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him." He says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Don't you know that when God looks at you, he's looking more at your heart? He's wanting to see what's inside you, what your motives are, what your thinking is. God looks at your heart. That's where God looks to when he wants to see in a person. I hear people say, "Well, the heart wants what the heart wants," as if to justify some kind of a bad decision, bad choice, suggesting that the heart should rule the life. That we should give the heart what the heart wants. That's not what God says. He says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Actually, who can trust your heart? Our heart will lead us astray. And yet God says, that's where I look. I look at the heart of that person. I want to see what's inside of them. Because then if I can know their heart, I know them. If I can win their heart, I win them. So God tells us that heart, it's deceitful, it's desperately wicked. And he tells us the Lord can know it. And often he knows our heart better than we do. He searches our hearts, he searches our mind, and what the fruit of our doings would bring. And so now our call is to make a choice. We can choose the flesh. We can do life our own way. and live a cursed lifestyle. Or we can choose God and experience a blessed life. By choosing Christ and His sacrifice, we're not depending on our strength, but we're depending on the mercy and the grace of God. We can look around the world that's around us, and it becomes more and more concerning the more I look around. The more I read the news and hear the news and listen to broadcasters, the more concerned I get, because I'm beginning to feel like the last days are really close to us. And I'm hearing about Christians being persecuted and tortured and martyred. I heard the other day that there's more Christians dying today than ever before. I read one report that said there's 100,000 Christians that die a year. I don't know how accurate that is. That's a lot of Christians dying every year just because of their testimony of Christ. That makes me think that we're headed into a difficult time, difficult seasons for those who love and follow God. We have to make a choice. Who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust a president, a Congress, a Senate? Or are we going to trust the Lord? I want to trust the Lord. I don't trust politicians at all. I think if you should put them all in one bag and shake it and see who comes out first, that there would be no difference. I want us to look at this story. And we can look at this story and we say, boy, God is really being severe here. Telling them, you either follow me or you're going to pay the price. You're going to live an awful life if you don't choose me. But I want us to consider this whole story, because there's a reason why God is being severe and at the same time very gracious. I want us to look at some very important words in these scriptures. Number one, the word worship. The Bible tells us here that Judah was worshiping idols. And most likely idols that they made themselves. But they were worshiping idols. That means that they were giving their worship, their praise, their adoration, their glory, their love that was all intended to go to God. That when they bowed before these idols, that's bowing that should have been given to God. And so for them to bow before the idol, they had to turn their back to God. Remember we read it talked about how their hearts had departed from the Lord? And so worship is a big thing here, because worship involves the heart. Why a discussion about the heart following the choices? Why did he talk about that? Well, the greatest command for us is what? Jesus said that the greatest command is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He said this is the first, the greatest commandment. You see, all of that involves the heart. That's why God is talking about heart over and over and over. Because it involves our heart before Him. I think it also involves His heart for us. And I hear God wanting His people to return their hearts to Him. You see, He's wanting their hearts because He wants them. It was out of His great love, His great affection, that He was sending them to another land. We think maybe God was angry, yes, because He tells us that. And so maybe God was just saying, I just want to whip you. I want to give you a good whipping. When I was a kid, my mom would say to me, go out in the yard and get me a switch. And I would go and I'd try to find a good one that wouldn't hurt. And I tried a little wispy one, and that one hurt worse than a big one. I wasn't smart enough just to go out and stay out and be gone. I had to go get a switch and come back in. Here, beat me. Well, it wasn't like that. God wasn't just wanting to beat them. He's wanting to turn their hearts back to Him. And so He's putting them in a position that says, you're going to go into a foreign country, you're going to go into a slavery, but you can prosper in it if you will just trust Me. You see, there was punishment there, but there was love there more than the punishment. It wasn't a matter of an almighty God wanting to punish His creatures that He had created. Not the picture of a creator punishing His creation, but it's a picture of a father drawing His children back to Him. He was promising that they would prosper if they would just turn again to Him and give Him the love and the worship that He deserved. When He says, cursed is a man who turns his back on the Lord, those words sound to me like the words of a father whose heart is broken because his children have turned their back on him. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Prodigal son come to his dad and said, Pop, I want all my money now. I want my inheritance. I want everything. I want it now. My money, and I want it now. And his dad said, okay. And he gave him this money, and the kid goes off, and he spends it on riotous living, partying, women, song. And he spends every dime of his dad's life. Finds himself swimming in a pig pen and hungry. Comes to himself and says, I can go back home. My dad has better food for his servants than here. I'll just go home and be a servant. And he turns around and he starts marching home. There'd been no call, no letter, no contact with his dad. Imagine that dad's heart being broken. I can remember when my kids went away to college. They were always in colleges that were on the other side of the world from me. I wept. This dad saw his kid leave with his wealth. And all of a sudden, he sees him coming down the road. And the kid doesn't look like he's got a penny to his name because the dad doesn't say, I'm angry still. That boy's going to suffer. No, he didn't say that. He saw his boy way down the road. He recognized him, probably would have been looking for him every day since he left. And he sees his son coming, and he runs down the road and embraces him and blesses him. That's what I hear in this story. I wonder, is this story in Jeremiah what Jesus used for a basis for his story of the prodigal son? I don't know. But I thought maybe. Because they sure fit together. And so when I read this, I don't hear all the words of an angry God. I hear the words of a broken-hearted father who wants to bless and prosper. And he's crying out to them, come back to me. Turn your heart back to me. Choose to trust me, and you can be prosperous. Choose to trust your own way, your own will, your own knowledge. You trust your own self. And I'll take my hands off, and you can suffer the consequences of your choice. And so that leaves us with a choice to make. Problem is, the choice we have to make every stinking day. We can't say, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord today and go on with that. But it's a choice we have to make every day. And sometimes, every time that we fall into a time of temptation or go through a troubled time or through a drought or through a harsh season, we still have to get up in the morning and say, I'm trusting in the Lord. I talked to Mary the other day. And she said that's exactly what she's doing. Charlie's going through all of this hard time. Did you know she passed out the other day, Adam? in the room, had to go to the emergency room. But she says, she's every day she's saying, "I'm trusting you, Jesus, I'm trusting you." And that's the choice we have to make. The other choice is not a life at all. I choose to trust the Lord. How about you? What choice will you make? Let's pray. Father, this morning we recognize how feeble and frail we really are. We realize how harsh this world really is and how much we need you. And Lord, our choice as we sit here today is to trust you. To trust you when life gets hard, to trust you when the seasons get hard and dry, to trust you, Lord, when we have nowhere else to turn, our trust is in you. And Father, we'll declare that trust with words of praise, songs of giving you glory and honor. We look to you, Lord, because we have nowhere else to go. In Jesus' name, amen. You say this was for me?